Okay, we're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are, more specifically, we were discussing the issue of falling asleep, passing out in the middle of the Shema. So let's quickly go over over that again. Again, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, as far as it's by the wide lines, specifically, one, two, three, the fourth wide line. It said, Omer Rav Ila Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Marsa, in the name Mishmei de Rav, Omer Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, Venenas B'Sheina Yotz. Now that sounds like all you did was say one single pasuk, and that's it, finished. Say that one pasuk, and then you decide to take a little nap because you had a very long plane ride in. You're yotzi, you fulfilled your obligation. Okay, fifth wide line. Everyone with me? Amar Rav Nachman l'dur avin. So Rav Nachman said to his servant, "B'psuka kama tsara." When it comes to the first pasuk, drive me crazy, cause me pain and anguish, do whatever it takes to make sure I'm awake. Tfei lo tetzarun. More than that, don't bother me. Which again, it sounds like on the surface, all I can do is say the first pasuk of the Shema, that's good enough. Omer le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef berei de Rava, avucha hechi havi ovid. What did your father used to do? So Omer le said, this is what my father used to do. Psuka kamam, havi kamam sarnash. Similar to what we just said. The first pasuk, drive me crazy, cause me much anguish, pain, make sure I'm awake, as tired as I may be. Tfei? More than that, lo havi mitzar navshe. More than that, you don't have to bother me so much. So we saw last week in the Shulchan Aruch, so let's quickly see that once again. So let's hand out our handy-dandy sheets. Here's handouts for you, and also, let's see.
Which one of the pages?
184. Yeah, you can use my master copy. You have all my cheat sheets and notes. We're gonna use that one too. Okay. So if we look over here on page 194, I guess in the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha, hey. So it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara which we just saw as follows. It says, Im haya yashen, if a person is sleeping, clearly you're sound asleep. Mitzarim oso, we bother him. Uma'irim oso, and we awaken him. Ad shiyikra pasuk rishon. Please read the first pasuk. Who are mamish? He has to be wide awake. You get that on some level of kavanah in it, parashamilus and whatnot, when it comes to the first pasuk. Kavielech says Machab. More than the first pasuk, ein mitzarim oso kedei shikra buer mamish. We don't require you to bother him so much that he has to be wide awake, and I guess the word is alert, maybe. And here's an incredible line over here. Sha'alapi shehukare misnamnem yotz. Even though this person who was sleep, he was kind of dozing, but he did read it, he's yotz. Which seems to me really against the flow of what our Gemara just said.
He had to read it, though.
It sounds like he had to read it.
Exactly. That Gemara says it doesn't, he has to read it. The whole thing is he's got to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Achat, and that's it, he's Yotzei.
That's what it sounds like by the Gemara.
Right.
Okay, that's going to be a very valid question. Let's see if that's how the Mishnah Berurah interprets it as well. So by Tet Zayin, which is Sif Hey, the Mishnah Berurah says Misnami. Vehu Adin Oynes Ayin. It doesn't have to be. It's Lav Davka, specifically this particular Oynes. Could be anything else that was beyond one's capacity. After Hamavatil Kavanaso Yatz, any other oynis that he was mavakal his kavana, that he could not concentrate, he's still yatz. And here's this is what the Mishnah Berurah is really qualifying, explaining what the Mechaber clearly said. Dehare al kol panim kar kula. says he at least read it. Cool. The entire thing. Right. It's not just that he read the one pasuk here. Aval im nishtaka b'shina v'lo kara lo yasa. If he would fall asleep, apparently he read the first pasuk. He said Shema Yisrael, Shema Kedosh, Shema Chod. Then he fell asleep somewhere in the middle of the second paragraph or wherever. He's not yasa. That's what it says clearly. Pasuk Mishnah Berurah. Right? Lo yasa. Dehare al kopan usach lekros akul. The very least, you need to read the entire thing. And then all of a sudden, the Mishnah Berurah continues seemingly to divert to a different topic, digress. The Dhamma, the Da, the Yesh Deyos, you should know that there are opinions. And it says in the Princess Chafalj of the Sharatzion, which says the Magen Avraham and Ma'alev, Bein HaPoiskim, Yesh Amrim, Derak Pasuk Echad Bilvad. Humin HaTorah. It's an interesting three-way machlokas, which is worthwhile knowing. It's a basic concept.
How did you say that?
The first pasuk is Min HaTorah.
How did you say it? It says Shema Yisrael, says Vayah Hashem, and it says Tzitzis, all is in the Torah. How could you say it wouldn't be from the Torah?
Do you have an interpretation of what's the pshat in Magen Avraham when it says the first pasuk is Min HaTorah?
I don't think that means that the source of the text is the Torah. I think it means that this is the mitzvah midoraisa.
How do we know that? Why do you say that?
An opinion.
But what I'm saying, but what are you basing on? In the same breath, it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It says V'haftais Hashem right afterwards.
Right.
So why? Where does it say that there's a break in the action over here?
Right. It's a good question. Apparently, that would be a logical explanation when everyone agrees to it. Let's see what the other two opinions are, and let's see if they're any better. The Eish Amrim, the Chol HaParsha Rishona, Hu Min HaTorah. Some people hold that it's only the first paragraph is Min HaTorah. The rest of it is not a Torah-based obligation to recite the rest. V'yesh Omrim, they're those that say, Digam Hashniya Hu Min HaTorah. That the second paragraph is also Min HaTorah. Which means, again, the whole machlokas is not whether or not these words are found in the Torah. Certainly,
they are.
They're found in the Torah. But is there an obligation deraisa?
So what's that makar?
Doesn't say. He doesn't explain the basis for it. Certainly, the third explanation is very logical because both paragraphs it says shach b'chal kamach.
Right.
So that makes sense. The first paragraph. Why the first, not the second? That's a very difficult question because what's the difference between the first and second paragraph? They say the exact same thing.
Because it says no, except for Shema. If you look at this, we just have read it, okay?
Yes.
Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena Shem. V'hafta Eisa Shema Kecha. So the Shema is like, I'm trying to think, it's like the title, so to speak, of really what you're doing.
Right.
What I'm saying? It says Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena Shem Achai. Here was real long ago, we're at, okay, V'hafta Eisa Shema Kecha. So you're asking Shema, then,
Yes.
It's a separate entity.
I think if you look at the actual source of Midoraisa, it really is something that requires the Be'ur of the Torah Shabbat Peh, because basically I think the key words that say that you have to say it is the Dibarta Bam. So what's Bam? Bahem. So it means it in them. That doesn't mean all of them. It doesn't say part of them. It's very non-specific. It's subject to interpretation.
Yeah, but it says, you're talking about this whole first paragraph when you say Vidibarta Bam. Vidibarta Bam doesn't have to do anything. It's the same with Shema.
It says Dibarta Bam. Bam is Bahem. It's in them, part of them. It doesn't say Vidibarta Otam. It doesn't say just
In the words of the Bartabam, it's not necessarily the case that it's talking about the reciting the Shema. Remember, right. On this very same Amud, we said when it comes to the Berbam, Hahu B'divri Torah Ksiv. It could be talking about Torah Shema.
Look at the language, okay? Are they Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena, Shema Chad? Okay? We're calling out to God, Hear, O Israel, you are one, you are this. We're, and then it says, V'hafta eis Hashem al-kecha, was saying how we're supposed to, worship God. It's a separate entity. First of all, call to God for Hashem to listen to us. Now it says, and how's Hashem going to listen to us? It's a different like language. It's a different, you know, calling, because it's like an explanation. Both Vahafta and Vahaya are explanations of how we're supposed to worship God. But right. The first thing, Shema Hashem, is we're calling to God to listen to us. It's not really in the same language, in the same tense, in the same anything.
Right.
The way I see it, I may be wrong, but that's if you want to really look at the words themselves and right. How they lay out.
Because the reality is that if before we question the machlokus of what is considered to be a Torah obligation, what is not the Torah obligation to recite, to be yotzei the mitzvah of Shema, you could, and you had a question on the first, why is it only the first pasuk? We already know that we paskin when it comes to kavana, the level of kavana,
right.
It's only the first pasuk, right? So you can further ask, why? Why should we only say the first pasuk? Why are we saying the first pasuk is that which you need to have kavana of exactly its meaning?
Because you're asking God for something in the first thing. You're not really asking Him in the sense of telling you how you're supposed to live your life. Think about it.
What the very first pasuk?
Yeah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem translated. How would you translate it?
Go ahead.
Hear, O Israel, hear God. Hear, listen to our plea. I'm Hashem, okay, no Hashem, okay. We acknowledge you are our God, okay? I have a book for whatever which way you want to translate, okay?
Yes.
Then it says, and how are we as Jews supposed to go about governing our life? This is how we worship God. That's, you see, the other right. Two are, both that and Vayom Shemo are like explanations, or even tzitzis. You know, you should wear tzitzis, and shemarta, and look at them, and brisim or something, the whole nine yards, Jewish remember the tayyag mitzvahs, the whole everything. But the opening thing of Shema Yisrael is kind of different in the sense it's not telling us how to worship God, it says we're worshiping God, you are our God. Hear us, God, listen
but
to
that,
us.
But that doesn't say hear us, God, it says Shema Yisrael.
Shema Yisrael.
It says Shema Yisrael, it doesn't say Shemana Hashem, it says Shema Yisrael. And not only that, in context, when you take it, where it's really coming from, it's the Shlata saying to Yisrael, saying that we haven't lost our Amuna.
To Yaakov.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, I'm Yaakov Yisrael.
But look at even this, and this is not the nicest thing he said, even the Chassid Shalom, people dying and the Holocaust and everything else. So what did they say? Everybody says Shema. It was a call out to God to listen to us. As opposed, nobody said
it's what?
It's
a melody.
I don't know that it's so much a call out to Hashem as much as it's an affirmation of faith.
But that's a call out to God as your affirmation. What is your affirmation of faith? You're calling out God is who He is. Okay? And then the other things you're explaining him how we worship God. You have to Eis Hashem Okecha, B'shal Pav Kumecha, Lechcha Baderech, and B'hayam Shamoa, and if you listen to his mitzvot, you'll have good things, and if you don't, times will be bad for you, and then all to Isn't Yinav Tzitzis, where, you know, the Tariyak mitzvot come involved and everything else like that. They're like, it's like an explanation of how we're supposed to worship God.
Okay.
I mean, you could disagree. I'm just giving a hypothesis over here.
I mean, this is a possible.
And that's why also we say mitzvah shrichus kavana, and by only shema means that kavana. Because what?
No, mitzvah shrichus kavana.
Yeah,
in the beginning, it did, but big machlokas according to everyone, it really means shrichus kavana.
You should have come to our other classes. When it comes to mitzvah srichas kavana, there's two elements of mitzvah srichas kavana. The Gemara over there is discussing whether or not you have to actually have kavana for what you're saying. But when it comes, certainly when it comes to the first pasuk,
of course,
you have to have kavana.
It says right there in the Gemara, right?
The question is, do you have to have kavana before you fulfill the mitzvah before you do it?
You can't say, like, you're going to do keep it out of aim, that we get some mitzvah srichas kavana for that one. I have to rest kavana, but you don't know if you're doing mitzvah srichas kavana for that.
Right.
You can't always like compare that. You can't
correct.
The time to get proof.
That's true. All right, let's just finish up this Mishnah Berurah over here so we can actually cover a little more ground. Uparsha tzitzis l'kol yamahu min ha'tayra. Kedei l'haskir yisiyas mitzrayim. The third paragraph, everyone agrees that there is an element of min haTorah to it. Not necessarily because you're mekayim the mitzvah of reciting the Shema, but because you'll, I'm in the Mishnah Berurah. L'haskir Yisis Mitzrayim, because of course there's a mitzvah to do so. V'tiknu haskir b'zman kriya Shema, and we bedafker for whatever reason instituted that it should be said b'zman kriya Shema, because we know we have to say Zech Yisis Mitzrayim, which you saw the last Mishnah, the first parak, day and night. So, and also therefore it's appropriate that it should be instituted Lahaskir Bizman Kriyashma. Okay. But nonetheless, that's what we see halacha. That is possible. The Mishnah Berurah is telling us that the only time you're yatz is if you actually say the words. You have to say it. So not everyone passes like this. In fact, it's brought down by the Netziv. The Netziv feels that this is really going against the Lashon of the Gemara. Why? Because the Lashon of the Gemara clearly says that, what did you say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then, V'nenes V'shein Yotza. It sounds like you fell asleep. It sounds like you mamash fell asleep.
V'nenes V'shein mean that you caught up in sleep? That the sleep caught up with you?
Right,
you
right.
Back.
But it doesn't...
Well, anyway, wait though, you didn't say the end of the Shema.
It doesn't sound like you said all
the... It won't be the possible. If you say you're high in Kriya Shema for that, as I was saying, so you fell upon you, and you said you passed out.
Yes.
You said that
the Nidachai and Krishma.
That's
how
I think they're trying to say.
The question, though, it says here you were
Yotz,
so you fulfilled your obligation.
Yeah, you're
Yotz. Did you say the three paragraphs, or did you just say that one puzzle?
You say one paragraph. It's talking about like some crazy case that you're exhausted. And
yes.
You say, Shmaisal Hashem Elokeinu Shachar, and you pass out. And then it says, fine, you're Yatsa, and you sleep through the night, and you go, oh, I'm questioning about that. Yatsa, yeah, you're Yatsa for Yachai for Krishma for that night. You say, you just say those words.
It says that you're Yatsa. Did you say the three paragraphs?
No, you said the fourth thing.
It says, did you say it or you didn't say it?
If you're able to say it, then you should say it.
But well, you didn't. You didn't. Yesterday you fell asleep. You only said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Are you Yatsa? Did you fulfill your obligation?
Was I able to say? Was I able to wake up?
You fell asleep. You slept the whole night and now it's the next morning. Did you fulfill your obligation?
Yes.
According to the Gemara, it says yes. Apparently so. Apparently what it says, you said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Just those words, then bananas b'shena, you fell asleep.
Right.
Yatsa.
Well, let me ask a stupid.
Which is against the words of...
Let me
we don't pass you like that, apparently.
You said Shema.
Yes.
Did you happen, trying to think the Yeshua is in Zin, did you have in mind that you were going to say the whole Shema and just sleep caught up with you? Because maybe the fact that you had it in mind, even though you didn't to say it, but when I started the Shema, I said the whole Shema and all three things. But I didn't do it, but I had the Kavanah, I had the intent, was to say it all, but just, I fell asleep.
So how would that help? But you didn't do it. Well, nicely, you didn't
do it. You had the Kavanah that I was going to say the whole thing, but I started Shema, and I had the Kavanah, I was going to say all three parashios. I didn't make it. But the fact that you had the Kavanah, and that you completed the first thing, that's why you yod said.
So you're saying the chiddush is that even though you didn't say it, but since you had the right intentions to do so.
The intention was to say all the three parashas of Shema.
So is that true when it comes to mitzvahs? If you have the right intentions to fulfill a mitzvah, but you just don't end up doing it? Are you? Did you? You didn't do it. So you're saying maybe over here is the exception that Hashem says, all right, you said the first
part. Because you said Shema. You the credit saying Shema itself is the key part of it.
Right.
And since you got the key part done, and the whole thing, it's as opposed to lulav, okay? You didn't get lulav, you didn't go sit in a sukkah.
Yep.
The key thing, the mitzvah is leishep a sukkah, or to nanea with the lulav nesar, or to blow the shofar.
Yes.
So there, if you just said the bracha, you'd accomplish nothing, because you didn't, there's a, you're doing, you're involved, or any kibbutz of anything. There's this actual respect. You're doing yes, ma. Take out the garbage. Whatever you say, right? And but you understand there was an action involved. Here, the whole action is just the saying of it. You say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Vafta Yisrael Hashem, Vayim Shamoa, and then Parshat Tzitzis.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
According to that, which is possible, maybe the Gemara means that it's Friday night. We had a nice. Nice meal. You fell asleep at the table. You just didn't bench. But you wanted to bench.
You didn't. You weren't
always
wanted
to bench.
But you didn't feel like during the rice, though.
Yeah, right, you didn't start with saying
you said the first paragraph, if it's the first paragraph and no lacha, and you passed out, then you know what I mean?
Let's say I didn't say the first paragraph. Well, but I had every...
That you didn't begin in the wedding.
The rice for Shema, the Shema is Hashem, and the Shema is
right.
For this. For benching, is it benching is...
So you're saying it's possible maybe this Gemara is going according to the opinion that only the first pasuk is midiraisa, right? Maybe that's what it means. That since the Gemara says all you said was this one pasuk, you fell asleep, you yatsa. Maybe this Gemara is going according to the opinions that of course you should say all three, but if you only said the first pasuk, midiraisa. Deraisa, you fulfilled your obligation. That's another possibility. That's maybe the reason why Mishnah Berurah brings down this machlokes, that this shita that says the first opinion, which is the Magen Avraham, that says that rak pasuk rishon bilvan hu min haTorah. Maybe that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why you're yatsa. Right? Another possibility that the Netziv brings down in this piece, and after that we'll move forward, is that it's not talking about Krishma this, it's talking about Krishma Amita. It's not, and that, in fact, the Rambam paskins, that even though there's some minhagim, we say three paragraphs, maybe the one paragraph, whatever it may be, but the Rambam paskins beferish that if you said the first pasuk and you fell asleep, no, you're yatsa Krishma Amita. And therefore, that could be the pshat.
Well, the reason for that is because there's nothing else in the Daraisa in Kriya Shema Lamita. Most deos.
But that what? Yeah. Certainly, the chi of the Daraisa is not there when it comes to Kriya Shema Lamita. So that's how some people interpret this. Because according to the opinion of Tosus on Bezim and Aleph, which is the very first Tosus, you'll see the very last line of this very large Tosis says, Umikan Nira, we'd have to see the whole Tosis, it'll take two days. Umikan Nira appears, Mishakar Krishma Mitaso, Shein Lavarech, Begam in Sarachlikros El Aparshri Shein. Tosis, as we saw, Tosis says that he's of the opinion that when it comes to Krishma Mita, you only have to see the first paragraph. That's what Tosis holds.
Because it's all we have right now.
Some people know you can say all three paragraphs.
There is also to do all three.
That's right. That's right.
Most people don't. We don't pass it like the Rizal.
Well, you look at the Shabbat. Svarim read off the tits.
Well, most people are not Svarim. I would say most people are
not Svarim.
Anishkat
Nusachar is big.
Yeah, but our thing. If it's not, we have Ashkenaz. It's not there.
Ashkenaz is a red David. Svarim is a red David.
So anyway, that's another interpretation of the Gemara, that just as long as you said the first pasuk, this is a way that you're yet to Kriya Shema Mita. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, in fact, as we see Beferish and the Mechaber, the Mishnah Berurah explaining it as well, that you need to actually read all three paragraphs. That's even if you're menamnim, you're a little bit drowsy, but you have to read the words to be yet. Okay. So that's the discussion on that previous piece. Let's move on to this very interesting next piece of Gemara. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Perkadin, lo yikra kriya shema. You're not allowed to read the Shema in that way. What exactly is this, Perkadin? Shaykh, says Rashi, Shaykhiv al gabo, that you're sleeping on your back, Ufanav l'mal, and your face is up front. So when you're lying on your back, not talking about you're sleeping. You're lying in bed. Okay, so you're lying in bed, and you're on your back. You're not allowed to say the Shema that way. Fine. So continuing the Gemara asks the question: Mikra hu de lo likri? What is Rabbi Yosef Paskin? You're not allowed to read the Shema. What do you mean you're not allowed to read the Shema? There's mashma other things you're allowed to do. Ha-migna, shaperdami. Some people don't like this Gemara. Sleeping, you're not allowed. You're allowed to sleep that way. We know you're not allowed to sleep on your back either. Bahar, Yishuv, and Levi, Lion, Amman, Degani, Apirkadin. Yishuv, and Levi used to lie and curse. He used to critique and criticize those individuals that slept on their back. So that's something which a person is not allowed to do. And I'm going to read the Rashi without translating it. Says Rashi, Shema yiskasha evaroi b'toich shinaso v'nir l'rabim v'hu derech g'nai. This would be something which would be embarrassing to that individual. And therefore, because of this, a person should not sleep on their back.
You have to blame all the pediatricians for they would tell you to put the kids to sleep on their back.
Well, what can I tell you?
I don't know if that deals with anything.
Well, yeah. But that's a lesson that they, you know, people sleep only continue to sleep that way even they get older.
Well, right, so you're teaching bad habits.
Bad habits, exactly.
To the infants. I don't know.
I really think that's stretching it.
Yes.
I really don't think the infant learns a pattern of how to lie to sleep.
You never know. But yeah, I hear it. Anyway, this is also the sheetas that say this is because people used to sleep unclothed and without sheets. Okay. Based on the language of Rashi, that the concern is that other people will see, so that would not necessarily be an issue. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, so what do you mean? You're not allowed to, so this is a sidebar almost. The Gemara is saying you're not allowed to say the Shema that way, not to sleep that way either. So Gemara says like this, Amri, Migna, when it comes to sleeping, Kimatsi Shabradami. When you lean a little bit to the side, that's okay, as long as you're not right on your back. Just you lean over a little bit at an angle. Let's say that it doesn't say like you're next to a wall. You're still leaning toward the wall. This way people will not be able to see you. Mikram apogav the matzli nami oser. However, when it comes to reading the Shema, even when you lean a little bit over to your side, that's also forbidden. I frag the Gemara. But we used to watch a great tzaddik by the name of Rav Yochanan. And we used to watch Rav Yochanan lying on his back reciting the Shema. And what did he do about Rav Yochanan Matzli Vikari? Rav Yochanan, he used to say the Shema, and he used to just lean a little bit and read, and he was lying on his back. So how could you tell me it's something that's forbidden? And always, which is always fascinating, before we see the answer, is that the Gemara never answers he was wrong. Right? Because they were never wrong. They were tzaddikim. They did every single thing that they did in their life,
like later on,
was halach, was based on halach.
They ask the karmic, they say, yeah? A bunch of situations, they go, oh, how could, they think you're talking about Yeshua, or something, how could you do tankum for your Eved? He goes, oh, my Eved was different. Or he goes, how could you go to the bathhouse
and
do
this? Remember the wheel.
Say, oh, he's different, he's a sensitive guy. So
had right. That. Yeah, but he didn't make it up on the spot after the fact. This is really with a cheshbon. Very good. Right. So that's not the answer to the kasha. The question is, so how did Rabbi Yochanan do it? So Shani Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Basar Havi. How does he translate that? Baal Basar?
He was a big corpulent person. He's a Baal Basar.
He's a Baal Basar. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, by the way, was, the Gemara says elsewhere, he used to sit by the mikvahs, because he was such an incredibly beautiful man. He said that women will leave the mikvah and they'll look at me, and then they'll think that, God willing, I should have a child as beautiful as Rabbi Yochanan. That's a Shiloh
that's
by itself.
Right?
I can't recall. I think it could be. But, that's what he would say. The point is, he was a beautiful man. He, on a spiritual level, obviously, Baruch Mi. Obviously, he wasn't physically, he wasn't on the,
he was,
you know, GQ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wasn't that in? I thought it was.
It could be.
I thought that was a healthy, that's what they thought. When I say corpulent, means that he was really fat.
He was to the point that it was difficult for him to.
So he couldn't even move him so
apparently, yeah. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi's Migna is the language of Lishan that's sleeping. Kimatli Shapidam. When you lean a little bit over, that's enough. Shumaita Atsado Ma'at. If you lean over to your side a bit, Shapidam. Abu Mikri Krishma, when it comes to the Shema, feel Matli Navi Asar. When it comes to the Shema, that's not allowed. Shivikabal Allah Malchu Shemayim, Derech Shraru Gaiva. Because if a person is lying on his back, even a little tilt on the side, he's relaxed with a little pina colada in his hand, that's derech gaiva. That's not omal chashmayim. You're not accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven at the time when you're lying in such a comfortable way. And because of that, that's so that's not the proper way to behave. So looking at halacha, we look over here on halacha aleph, which is on the back of the Shulchan Aruch, in again Siman Samach Gimel. As we know, we pass them like the opinion of Beis Hillel, the Kur Oiso, Mahalech, Oimei, Shoichem, Roichem, Al Gav Behema, O Yoshi. You can say the Shema basically in any way. Mechaber Paskins. Traveling, standing still, lying down. The question is, what does it mean, Shoichem? But lying down, Roichem, riding on an animal, or sitting. And then here, this is what it says, right, the first line. Does everyone see that, Mechaber? Of a low character, the person is not allowed to do this, which is what the Gemara says, and he defines it, Rashi defined it for us, otherwise we wouldn't know what it means, so the Mechaber has to define it as well. Dehainu shipon of toiches bekark, which means that a person's face is toward the river, is
the ground.
Is buried in the ground. O mushloch, that's what it sounds like. Right, that he's on his stomach. O mushloch al gabo upon the lumala. It sounds like it could be either way. That he's facing, this is the way Rashi interpreted, the second explanation, that mushloch al gabo upon the lumala. He's facing upward, which means...
He's turned sideways, facing upward.
A mushloch al gabo, which means he's on his back. Yeah.
We just said it's no good to be on your back.
Right. That's what it says. That's what he said. Of a low, you see the last three words on the first line, the Mechaber? Of a low part. The person's not allowed to do, say the Shema in that way. Right? Of a karev hu shaykhav al sido. A person can read lying on his side. So basically, when it says the sleeping, it doesn't, you have to not be literally on your side. You can be tilted, like on an angle of some sort.
The Rambam say you can on the right side.
Yes. That's sleeping. This is talking about, it has nothing to do with sleep. This is Krishna. This is Krishna. Alright? Skipping the Ramah. Alright, let's see the Ramah. Why not? It's in parentheses. Miach Shkvar Shaychev Vika Tircha Lamoy. After all, we allow you to say it lying down on your side. According to the Ramah, not normally, but if you're already lying down and it's difficult for you to actually get up, even though that's really not the best thing, fine. Even though the Mechaber doesn't really mention that. And then listen to this. This is Beferish of Halacha. Vim hoya bal basar harbe. They throw in the word harbe.
Really fat.
Right. The Edo, so what's the pshat in bal basar harbe? The Eno Yochel with Hapech al Sido, he's not able to turn on his sides. O Shahoya Choyla, not the Ma'at, let's see the Makaru. He's sick, so we don't require him to completely move to his side, just a little bit to show some effort to remove the element of Gaiva, and that's sufficient. Alright, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah over here. The Mishnah Berurah says, Beis, part of that is v'afilo ma'ita ma'at al sidai. I mean, even if a person leans a little bit on the side, gam kin asar, that's also asar. The nation nira is almost verbatim the language of the Rashi. Kimikabel alav olmachu shmayim derech sharara begayma. Okay, and if you look, you know, in the aleph over here, it brings you the shar hatzion, which is on the bottom of the page, and it says brachos. What does it say?
Your
gimel with beis, which of course is the Gemara which we're studying. This is what the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, this piece of Gemara. Okay, so even leaning a little bit on your side is also not good because it shows a lack of respect and it shows an element of gaiva. You're a derech gaiva, you're haughty. Shkvar says the Rambah that in the event that you're already lying down on your side, that's fine. Shekvar Shaychev, says the Mishnah Berurah. Russell Emmer. Upshat koma she'olov v'ika tarech lamoid umachser ulachser v'lilvsho. That which we said, you're allowed to say the Shema lying down on the side, is because it's difficult for you to get up. you're not sick, you're not a Baal Basar, but you can just be on your side. If you're already on your side, it'll be a tircha to get up and have to clothe yourself.
But is that the definition of Shavpacha?
Which is a problem, because that's the literal translation that Beit Shammai interprets.
Right.
But that's why the Ramah with sensitivity says, Me'achar shikvar shankhid, you were already lying down. You're not allowed to lie down in order to say the Shema.
But if you were lying down, right. You have to get up. But
that's what he's saying. He's saying, if it's a tircha, if it's difficult for you to get up, if you're, it's a trouble, it's cumbersome, it's troublesome, then it's not a problem to be on your side. And that's good. That's all right. That's what the Ramah says. But he says, Avalim shaykhid b'chalukai. Interesting. He says, that's only apparently when you're not clothed. Avalim shaykhid b'chalukai says in Mishnah Berurah that if you are wearing garments, sarach lamay, you should get up. The ayin, you should look more into this based on the words of the Bir Halach, which we're not going to see. The Edo Yachal says in Mishnah Berurah, Avalim Yachal atzida, if you could get up, go onto your side. Now, the Rakhba Pasuk Rishon Levan Mechuyev Lasus Kim. You should at least do so. The Kol Shekin Im Yochel Kroso Be Yeshiva. It's much better to say it's sitting. So again, this sounds like you're allowed to, but it's better not to. Better to say.
So you did the Evid, you could do it. But you should do it.
It's not the best way of being Mekayim in the Mitzvah of Shema. Better to be saying the Shema sitting, which is will certainly remove the element of Gaiva. That's true Omach HaShemai, as opposed to lying down. But again, under certain circumstances, we allow it. All right, let's continue. Let's move on. All right. The next piece of Gemara, run through the two dots. Right, we were Prakim Shayah. And as we know, whenever in a Gemara you have two dots, sandwiched by two dots, it's a quote from a Mishnah. So the quote from our Mishnah discussed, which is of course the first Mishnah, Gimel Amud Aleph, first Mishnah in our parak, discussed what are Veda Prakim, what is Emsa Parak, what's between the paragraphs, what's in the middle of the paragraphs, and defines Veda Prakim.
Yeah.
In regard to, right, interrupting the Shema
to greet somebody.
So we had a Machlokas. Right, if it's Mimnei Kavod,
Mimnei Yira.
Right. Okay. So, this was a Machlokas. So now the Gemara is going to ask, the question is that it's said in the Mishnah that when it comes to, for example, when it comes to being Shoyal, when it comes to Prokim, Shoyal Mimnei Kavod Umeshik, it says when you're... in between paragraphs, you can greet someone you honor in meshiv and respond back to them. It's very difficult, the word meshiv, because it's obvious. Because if we allow you to initiate a conversation, so certainly if someone initiates, you should be able to respond. Right. So you would think that would be obvious.
Yeah, but I didn't say that.
So it shouldn't say. So the Gemara, the Mishnah really should only have to say Shol Mimnei Kavod.
Right.
It doesn't need to tell us Umeshiv, and you can respond. Why does it have to add these words Umeshiv? It's obvious that if you're allowed to initiate a conversation Mimnei Kavod, then Umeshiv you should certainly be able to respond. That's what the Gemara is going to ask right here, and come up with a very interesting answer. Umeshiv Machmas Mai. Ask the question. What is the purpose of the Mishnah mentioning that you're allowed to respond? Ilema Mipnei Kavod. Does it mean that when it says you're allowed to respond, is Mipnei Kavod to the people that you are obligated to honor? And when it said Mipnei Kavod, for those that to honor, Rashi specifically said on the Mishnah, and I'll read it just outside, Shoyal v'shalom adam nichvad, shoyal haknim v'shalom. Greeting someone, an adam nichvad, an honorable person who's deserving of you, deserving respect. Just a very general statement of a Mipnei Kavod. So, when Rav Meir said the statement, that shalom mipnei kavod, when it says meshit, does it also mean that you're allowed to greet, and you're allowed to respond to that person that you respect, that doesn't really add anything. It's no, there's no chiddush. Hashem Yishol Shoel, says the Gemara, since we already allow you to initiate the conversation, during the boy, for you to respond, of course we'd allow you to. There's any question. Ella, what must he be talking about? It must be Shoel Menekav. When it says that you're allowed to answer, you're allowed to answer, that's someone who you honor. Umeshiv, to respond. Shoel means you can initiate a greeting.
Initiate a conversation with someone you honor or respect.
Umeshiv, and you can even respond, shalom, l'cholam, any person, any person. So it's a bigger chiddush, not only to someone you honor, of course.
But not.
You would certainly would be allowed to, because if you can initiate the greeting...
No. But you would have thought not to a person that's lesser, the regular Ben-Ona.
Right, exactly. So
you would have thought, like, you know, of course you can answer back to a guy who gave respect to
exactly.
So, you know...
Exactly, very good. Aim is safe. So now let's analyze the latter part of the Mishnah. When Rameir said, Emsa, Shoyalit Nehayir Emeshit, that was his line. In the middle of the paragraphs, when you're smack dab in the middle of the paragraph of Yahavta or whatever, you're allowed to greet and initiate with Mibneha Yira, someone that you're afraid of, right? And we discussed in great detail, Mibneha Yira doesn't mean someone who's going to kill you, because if someone is going to kill you, so we know that you're allowed to do anything. So Shalom is this, right? So Mibneha Yira really represents
respect.
The question, exactly. We're going to get to that.
This is a king, no?
Could be a king.
A guy that could kill you, not necessarily going to kill you. That has like the power to kill you. In Malchus.
Right. Well,
they say in Rashi.
That, you're right. That is the language of Rashi. And that Rashi over in the Mishnah does say, Adam shuyar mipana shuyahargu of nekablo. You're absolutely right. We brought down before, last week or whatever, a few weeks ago, the opinion, the Ritva asked a question. Pikuach nefesh. What is Rashi saying? The Chiddush is, oh, you're allowed to break your B'emsa L'shma. What do you mean? Of course. Right. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. You're allowed to do basically everything except for the Gimel of Eres Chamuros. Anything else. So therefore the Ritva says, it's not talking about a Mela. It's not talking about someone's going to kill you. It means Mehiyira, the people that you're supposed to show
respect.
Right.
But not a king
who would kill you.
Right.
Not a king who would kill you. Not a king who would kill you if you didn't respond. Maybe a Melech Yisrael. You want to say it that way. A Jewish king who would not kill you if you didn't respond. You still have to say interrupt your Shema because Nebnei Yiri is still supposed to, you're obligated to show fear for him. Okay? That's the sensitive reading that the Ritva has in Rashi, why he's bothered that can't be shut in the year. Okay, however you translate it. Okay? We're going to get more, because we talked about that at length. We're going to go back, time permitting, there's a famous Machlokes Rashi around Mibnei HaKavod. But Mita, let's just finish up this piece. Because it's all connected. So let's see it again. Ema Seifa. What is the Seifa, the Mishnah Seifa? Emsa Shon Mibnei Yira Meshim. Meshim Machlokes Mai. What does it mean over there that you're allowed to respond to those? Which type of people? Elema Mibnei Yira. That you're allowed to respond to those people that you fear. Hashem Yishol Shoah. During the boy, again, you can ask the same question. If you are already allowed to initiate your conversation and greeting to them, of course you'll have to respond to them. Ella means this. Mitnei HaKavod means that even the person who's Mitnei HaKavod, which is not, he's not going to kill you, he's not someone you have to fear. Mitnei HaKavod, that individual, if they initiate a greeting, you're allowed to respond. Perfect. So that's the Chiddush. Okay. Everything is beautiful. That would be a beautiful way to interpret the opinion, the words of Rav Meir. But there's only one small problem with interpreting Rav Meir like that. Exactly the same shita as Rabbi Yehuda. And if Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir, who happen to be in the same Mishnah, the fact that they argue in the Mishnah, obviously that's not what Rav Meir says. If that's what Rav Meir said, they would be arguing. Exactly. There would be no machlokas. It would be a stam mishnah. It would be a plain mishnah.
He's saying over here, Rabbi Scroll, that it's even in the middle of a paragraph.
The emsa
means
the emsa of the paragraph, not between.
Let's say the hafta and vayam shemar.
Oh, that's be'emsa.
That's
ben a prokim. Where be'emsa is literally your smack dab. You're in vidi bar kavam, and then you this. That's be'emsa. You know, in the, literally in the middle of a paragraph, middle of a sentence.
Okay.
So the problem with interpreting the opinion of Rabbi Meir like that is because Haino Rabbi Huda, let's continue the Gemara, the Tanan we learned in a Mishnah, happens to be our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Oimer, Rabbi Huda says, Bi'emsa shomit nehayira, umeshiv nehakavot. He says, when it comes to, when you're in the middle, smack down in the middle of a sentence, in the middle of a paragraph, Shalom neir, you're allowed to initiate a greeting to those you fear. Umeishiv neir kavod, and respond even to those people that you honor. But prakim, when it comes to when you're between the paragraphs, you're not in the middle of a paragraph. You're between paragraph one and two. Shalom neir kavod, umeishiv shalom l'chol adam. So that's where you put your huge question mark. Questions. So what exactly does it mean again when it says meishiv in the Gemara? What does that mean? Right, can't be interpreted the first way we did because that would fit that's the slot of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda are chaylik. There's a machlokas between the two. There's a machlokas between the two opinions. What exactly is the opinion of Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara says like this: Chasurim Machsura v'Hachitani. As we often find in a Mishnah, words are missing, and this is the proper way of reading it. Now, when it says Chasurim Machsura, the derech klal, the general rule. The klal of the chasurim echsur doesn't mean that the Mishnah, whoops, we made mistakes and we're missing letters, we're missing words. It was done that way because it's Tar Shabbat Pat, and they were on a much higher madrega, and they understood, but just the simple reading of the Mishnah, what it really meant. But for us, you read a Sadoros, we have to have everything spelled out. Things have to be much more clear for us to understand it. So therefore, chasurim echsura, this is the real understanding of what the Mishnah meant. Those are the between the lines, so to speak. Bahakitani, two lines in the bottom. The prankim shomim ne'er kavoid, when Rameir said that you're allowed to initiate greeting to someone who you honor, the ein sarach lomer shuhumeshiv. You have to actually add those words in your mind when you translate it. And it, of course, he's allowed to respond. You don't even need to tell me this. Right? Right? So therefore, the way we're answering it is, you're right. The words meishiv really is not coming to teach us any particular chiddush, except for the so if there's no chiddush, why does it say it? It's to tell you that I disagree with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when it comes to me, the din of responding is the exact same as initiating a greeting. I don't say that because there's more of a reason to allow me to respond to a greeting that I allow more people. I allow myself to respond to more people. No. Kutra Meir, it's only the same person and no one else. Dibra Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Be'emsa Shom Ne'ira Umeshim Ne'akavu. Me'prakim Shom Ne'akavu Umeshim Shom Chalad. Which is the language of our Mishnah. Where you down the mouth. Having that behalf, we also learned some very similar to this in a brisa. Hakayra Shema Upagabo Rabo O Gadol Bimenu. Let's say you were reading the Shema and you chanced upon a Rav or Gadol Bimenu, someone who's greater than you. Interesting. He doesn't say Mnei Kavod over here, but he says Rabo, a Rabbi. A great scholar, Gadol Himenu, someone who's greater than you. Viprakim, when it comes that you are smack, you are between the paragraphs, Shomim Ne'akav, the Ein Sarach Lomishumation. Certainly you're allowed to respond. Uve Emso, when you're smacked in the little paragraph, Shomim Ne'akav, Sarach Lomishumation, Rameir. Rameir holds that when you're in the little paragraphs, you're allowed to even respond, you're allowed to respond only to someone that you fear. And obviously, you'll have to respond back to them. Rabbi Huda, Imer, Emsa, Shalom, Ne'ira, Umeshim, and Ne'kavon, Ne'prakim, Shalom, and Ne'kavon, Umeshim, Shalom, Achol Adam, which is again the language of our Mishnah. So that would be the focus, as our Mishnah says it clearly. And the whole question is, when it comes to Meshim responding, whether or not we say the same law applies to the way we initiate the greeting, or we allow you to be more lenient for that as well. Now again, let's look over here for a moment. We have a few minutes still on Yud Gimel Mem Aleph, the language of Rashi. When it comes to the Rashi says on the Mishnah, Rashi is always closest to the binding. The Rashi in the Mishnah says Shoyel Mitnei HaKavod, that you're allowed to greet those that you honor. And Rashi says Shoyel B'Sholem Adam Nichvad Shiroyel Lahaktim Lo Shalom. It doesn't really mention a specific individual that you are supposed to show Kavod for. It just says an Adam Nichvad, which is interesting because according to the Brice over here, the Brice, as we just saw, chooses and to specify Ufagabo Rabo Ogodli Menu. In fact, the Rambam as well does that. The Rambam is of the opinion, unlike what Rashi says, he says Koi al Aviv O Rabo, that it's talking about when it says Mitnei Kavod, it's your father or your teacher, your Rab, your Rebbe. Which again is unlike the words of Rashi. Rashi says plainly, any other nichbad. The Rambam, for some reason, picks specific people, a father, a Rebbe. And the question is, why does the Rambam, is there really a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashi? Is there really a difference? Why does the Rambam choose to specify the people who are nichbad? Why does the Braisa also choose to do so? Right? Why does the
at the end of the Gemara, at the end of the piece, they say, "Oh, and you as a chashav enough for me to say that you as a that give kavod." So it shows. If, I guess it's that. I would say it's like a fearless choice. You know, if you, it's like up to you. If it's covered to you, like a rabbi would be a kavod with somebody. So I follow somebody covered somebody, but like yes. Somebody came up to you and like you're like a friend, you know, thinking where I was covered you to interrupt Krishna, you know, you're
good question. I mean, the Mishnah does say Mimnei Kavod. It doesn't right. Specify specifically, it just says generally Mimnei Kavod. Which Rashi sounds to be correct. Rashi's saying, since the Mishnah doesn't really specify, it's any person who is deserving of honor. The Rambam, for some reason, doesn't say that. The Rambam specifically says, your father, your Rebbe. Why? That's not what the Mishnah says. On the other hand, the Braisa does specify as well. It does mention the father. It doesn't mention the father. It mentions a Rebbe. It mentions a Rav, or Gadli Menu. So to answer this question, there's a more difficult question which was asked last week. The question that was asked, it's brought down here in the Megillah in the Megillah Sefer. It says as follows: "It is my mother lishol ben aprokim mimnei kavod aviv o rabbi." It's very strange. Your Rebbe, your father, and presumably they're also in shul, probably saying the Shema. Right? That's what you're saying, assuming that you're in the shul. So the question is, why do we paskin that we allow you to actually say hi, Dad, in the middle of Davin, in the middle of the Shema. Hi, Rebbe, in the middle of Davin. Hakayim alone we hold. Av, Rav, Shit, Mochlo, Al Kvodam, Kvodam Mochlo. The Gemara in Kedushin says that when it comes to a Rebbe, when it comes to a father, if they want to be Moichel on their Kavod, if they want to say, it's okay, you don't have to show me honor, it's okay. Kvodam Mochlo. Kivan should be Yadam Limchol, since it's within their hands to do so, asks Megillah Sefer, Heichu Masik B'Shilam. Why would we allow halakhically to interrupt your davening to greet them? Haru Osik B'Malchus Shemayim? You're in the middle of saying the Shema. The Heich Yidche Kabolos Malchus Shemayim, Yibnei Kvodam Asher Esher Lehem Limchol. Why would we allow you to interrupt Malchus Shemayim in order to do something, interrupt something which they themselves can be mindful. And on this question, we'll have to see next week.